Welcome to episode 19 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Jeff Smith is joining me again from Washington.
Hello, sir.
Hello. We're not doing the special edition podcast. I hope a bunch of you listened to it last week. It was quite an interesting listen. Jeff will have to catch up on that because he had some computer issues, but he's got those fixed now, so we're moving ahead.
Back on track.
Back on track. Phil Mickelson is back on track, having won the last two majors, the PGA last year and the Masters this year. What stood out most to you about his Masters win this year, Jeff?
Well, what stood out to me was his steadiness throughout the whole tournament. He was obviously the man to beat on Sunday, and it was just his ability to basically get the job done. The only bogey, of course, we saw was on the 18th hole, and his steadiness really won that tournament. Others were not able to match that.
Three of the last nine, the last two majors. Will he win the Grand Slam this year?
No, he's not going to win the Grand Slam. No, it's not going to happen. I mean, he's playing great. He's thought of as one who is a little streaky, and he always starts his season strong, or typically has in the last few years.
Didn't do that too much this year. Kind of a weak start for him this year.
Yeah, weak start, but he peaked at the right time. I don't think we're looking at a Grand Slam winner this year, though.
Well, he gives a lot of credit to his team, Rick Smith and Dave Pels. For helping him get prepared for the Masters and any major, really. Seems to be paying off. He's 0 for 45 or whatever to start his career. Now he's 3 of the last 9. So
yeah, he's obviously got the monkey off his back. People bashed him pretty hard with the best player to have not won a major moniker. there's been folks in the past who have gotten that tag put on him. Having just written my profiles this week on Corey Payton, he was tagged with that. Until he won the 95 U.S. Open, but Phil, boy, he took it right to the chin, and I think he's relaxed. He's in a good place to win a major now.
Well, he played with Freddie Couples on Sunday. They were laughing and joking around. Good friends. Their caddies were roommates for the week, so really kind of a walk around the park, and that's something we'll touch on later, but nobody really made a charge to contest Mickelson at the top. Mickelson pretty much had a boring front nine, kind of made a few birdies here and there on the back nine. The bogeyed 18, he still wins by two shots, so...
So they had so many players who had the potential to give him a run for his money. You had folks like Vijay Singh kind of hanging around there. Of course, Tiger missed a bunch of key putts. Couples himself could have won the tournament.
Right. So. The top five were up there, so it was a good leaderboard, not necessarily an interesting tournament. The LPGA tournament, though, the week before, this was actually while I was down in Greensboro, Georgia for the TaylorMade ball launch. Everyone was, of course, rooting for Natalie Gulbis to get in to the playoff there. Did you watch much of the LPGA event there?
I saw a bit of it. Ochoa.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that? Ochoa. She'd gotten off to such a strong start and then kind of stumbled down the stretch.
She kind of failed to hang on. She kind of went into protect mode, prevent defense.
Yep.
We're only going to give up 3 points instead of the big score, but eventually she gave up the 3 points and got into a playoff with, I'll give her credit, it was an eagle on the 18th hole. Put a 5-wood or something in there to 10 feet. It was inside of both Gulbis's and Wee's birdie putts. Sinks that. Of course, Webb dunks a 116-yard shot or something just to get into the playoff.
Yep.
She got the lead in the clubhouse there by dunking it from 116 yards on 18. And Webb, kind of disappeared. Was thought to be 5 years ago a challenger to Annika Sorenstam. Kind of returning a bit. And at the same time, Annika Sorenstam, nowhere to be heard of from this year.
Been really quiet and just had a poor tournament, really. Didn't make a run at not many birdies and not the player we've come to expect.
Yeah, as much as I was looking forward to seeing a Grand Slam this year on either tour, I don't think Kari Webb, even more so than Phil Mickelson, will be the one to do it.
No.
So, Michelle Wee opting to chip on the 18th. She was about a yard, maybe two, off the green, had 20 feet of green to work with. Electing to chip instead of putt. Good decision, bad decision?
That was a bad decision. It was an aggressive play. In one sense, it's
a good play. She would have won it with an eagle, but all she needed was a birdie to get into the playoff. She ended up
and that's
a birdie putt.
And that's what she should have done, was try to put it as close to the cup as possible, but she went for the win there, or whatever.
Dumb mistake, something she learns from?
I think it's lack of experience. It was a poor play. Something I don't think we'll see in years to come her do. She had a great tournament.
She's
right up there at the top. And for all the talk that we've made about her, not winning and
we've never said she's not good, but again, no. She fails to win in the clutch.
Well, she's still so young.
She is. She's 16. I'm surprised her caddy didn't say, "Why don't we putt this?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they always say your worst putt is better than your worst chip. And her chip wasn't really a great effort. I mean, she put it 15 feet past the hole or so. So
yeah, it was a poor decision, and unfortunate for her, but it's something she's going to learn from.
And she seemed to blow it off. That's part of what I don't necessarily like about her. She doesn't seem to have that drive and that, you know, Tiger does that, he'd be pissed. He'd be outright pissed. And you'd see it. And you'd see how ticked off he was at himself.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, I didn't make the putt. Oh, but it was close. And I'll try again harder the next time. And
That's what comes across to me. You listen to her in any interview situation. She is so incredibly young. It's almost like she's 10 and not 16. Yeah. I don't know. It's almost like she's unaware of the fact that, okay, you know, if you're really competitive here, you could stare down the wind or whatever it is.
I just don't see, you know, that's part of that competitive edge that separated Tiger from the rest. You know, Tiger, through competition, perhaps honed that edge. She seems more concerned with, you know, shopping and, it was fun. Didn't rain. My hair didn't get frizzy,
That's right.
But really, I mean, her caddy could have said, let's put this. Natalie Gold was really off to a great start this year. You know, I was kind of pulling for her just because she kind of came back there at the end. Was kind of in it almost the whole way through the tournament, but, you know, had four solid rounds and really could have pulled away with it.
I mean, like you said, she has had an incredible start. She's only had one, of four or five tournaments, she's only had one outside the top five.
Right.
So she's just gone to a great start.
Very impressive. Well, we'll be right back after this message from Golf Gods and Titleist. Stay with us.
To be a great putter, you have to be tension-free.
Trust your line and follow through. For the short wedge shot, set your weight forward and keep it there.
To create spin on a chip, mash the ball into the ground.
I've got to try that.
To hit the bump and run, place the ball back in your stance.
On downhill putts, play more break.
On short putts, focus on a tiny spot in the hole.
Be sure to accelerate.
On long putts, lean the shaft forward out of dress.
When it's this windy, try widening your stance.
And your most important tip, trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
From the studios of GolfGods.com in Minneapolis, this is Chip Shots, a weekly look at golf equipment news, brought to you by the staff of GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of TheSandTrap.com.
This week on Chip Shots, the agony of defeat. Now, this is only one man's opinion, but if you've lived your life today wearing only the standard old-fashioned cotton golf socks, you're missing out on one of life's greatest small pleasures. Advancement in sock design, technology, and materials has kept pace with 460cc drivers, high-flying golf balls, and then some. The GolfGods.com staff pick. It has to be the Adidas Climacool no-show sock. The Climacool technology is what separates this sock from the pack. Here's what you should know about Climacool. Adidas' amazing Climacool technology cannot be lumped into the general category of moisture-wicking fabrics. Climacool is actually an integrated system of technologies that work together to regulate the body temperature far better than any single fabric technology. Adidas uses Climacool technology in their best apparel, and for good reason. This stuff really works. By using Climacool, the no-show socks are able to provide superior ventilation, keeping your feet feeling cool and dry, even snugly inside a pair of leather golf shoes. How? Climacool apparel actively conducts heat and sweat away from the body through a combination of heat and moisture dissipating materials, ventilation channels, and three-dimensional fabrics, which allows air to circulate close to the skin. When developing the socks, Adidas mapped the body's critical heat and sweat zones using infrared cameras. That data made it possible to place these technologies exactly where they are needed to optimize the body temperature. In addition to the Climacool construction, the padded heel, toe, and Achilles just add to the overall comfort of the sock. Sure, at $9.95 a pair, these aren't the 10 pair for 10 bucks type socks, but they are so comfortable you honestly won't care what they cost because they are worth every penny. For more information about where you can buy Adidas Climacool no-show socks, check out the links to this article on thesandtrap.com. Now back to Eric and this week's podcast.
And welcome back. This week in our forum topic of the week, things that we can see in the 2007 Masters. I started this forum topic and my rough ideas were no rough. I'd like to see people hitting the balls into the trees, basically running through the fairway. They didn't used to have the second cut or the first cut. They used to run through into the trees and get into more trouble. I want to remove the stupid trees that they planted that make the holes 25 yards wide. I mean, on the 11th hole, they planted so many trees, you can't even attempt at some kind of heroic shot out. You have to hit sideways back into the fairway. I'd like to see the advertisers come up with more than one or two freaking commercials, since we only get... There's only three or four advertisers, so you watch 8 hours of Masters coverage, you see the same commercial 4,000 times.
Mission accomplished for them.
I don't know that it's, you know... At the end, I started hating AT&T just because I got sick of seeing their ad. So it really may not be working in their favor. A few other things, you know, I'd like to see the green jacket ceremony and the putting green, you know, the whole Butler Cabin thing. You know, it's tradition and all, but it's had its day.
Is that not the most awkward little moment in all of television?
Hootie's like, I think they're coming in now.
Oh, how there they are.
Like they just decided to stop by. What great timing, Hootie. Look at that. Wow. The magic
about
of,
that.
The magic of, you know, having people wait at a door. But the forum topic eventually evolved into my thought that the Masters has basically been charge-proofed. You know, we have tiger-proofing courses, you know, making them longer, making the fairways narrower. Augusta National usually sees a back nine charge. I mean, the old saying was that it didn't even begin until the back nine on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We saw absolutely no charges from anybody. I mean, Jose Maria Olazabal was like 40 shots back. Managed to shoot the low round of the week was a 66. And, you know, that constituted a charge even though he finished, you know, four or five shots off the lead or three shots off the lead. Has the Masters been charge-proofed because of the course changes at Augusta National?
Well, I think that it started way back in 2002. I don't want to steal your thunder here, Eric. You have all these changes begin. And so back then, for their fear of players like Tiger Woods and Ernie Els and anybody long off the tee, they want to protect the shot values, quote-unquote, with the air quotes. And yeah, you've seen since that time a golf course and a major really change in its character. I forget if it was you or someone on the site there mentions that it's more like a U.S. Open now.
And yeah. I'd say it's more like a PGA because, you know, it's not quite as penal as a U.S. Open. Not quite, just because, you know, they don't have 4-inch rough or 8-inch rough or anything. But even a PGA, you rarely see a charge. It's kind of slow and steady plodding kind of golf. And that's what we saw all day Sunday. Phil Mickelson didn't have to shoot a great round. You know, he could have shot one under and won the tournament. It was the most boring Masters I think I've ever seen. Jack Nicklaus in 86, they showed that the Sunday at 1:30, and coverage started at 2:30 here on the East Coast. They showed Nicklaus's win in 86. He shot a back 9-30 to come from behind. You know, Seve dunked balls in the water. Tom Kite still had a chance to tie Nicklaus. Greg Norman had a chance to tie Nicklaus. A bunch of players were in it, and a back 9-30 is what I would call a charge. You know, in addition to all the other players being in it too, absolutely not.
Well, and actually on the other side of things, let's look at what happened to some of those players on Sunday. You had a guy like Tiger Woods who had a shot at it and missed some putts that you would think normally he makes.
He shot a 70.
What's his name? Who's playing with Phil Mickelson?
Freddie Couples missed a bunch of putts as well, you're right.
Yeah, had he made some key putts, then we'd have been in better shape. You know, you had some people who were in a position to do it, but didn't make some of those key putts.
But nobody charged, and, you know, a charge isn't something made necessarily by one person, but, you know, five or six guys are usually battling it out, trading birdies here, trading birdies there, an eagle there, an eagle there. You look at that 86 footage, and most of the guys had an eagle putt there, you know, and a bunch of them went in. How many eagle putts did we see? I mean, Olazabal had a tap-in, Tiger missed two. I mean, even if he makes those two and doesn't three-putt one of the later greens, he's tied. Great. I mean, that's not, you know, and that would require a 67 out of them. So, I don't know.
And again, on the other hand, take Phil Mickelson's steady play out of it, and you have a leaderboard that is completely knotted. First of all, Tim Clark, a short hitter, would have won it. Right. I think Phil peaked at the right time. 13 under or 13 strokes above, ahead of the field, was it, the week before at the Bell South?
Right.
And steady play at the Masters. Two drivers in the bag. Longest player. Really good fairways stats.
Right.
Take Phil out of it, and you do have a lot of players.
But
right,
you don't have people charging. I mean, everybody seemed to practically stay at the number they started the day at. Everybody was right around par. There were no 65s. There were no 64s.
This is true.
You usually see a couple of those. Not just one or two, but a couple. So
Didn't happen.
Boring. Steve Elling will link to this article, says, and I'll quote this whole paragraph here. We're not the only ones saying it after seeing it. The final round of the Masters was boring because there weren't nearly enough red numbers. Responsibility for that widespread characterization falls at the feet of Club official Hootie Johnson, and the guys who authorized the course changes. In fact, the whole week was rather flat from a fireworks perspective. Of the players who made the cut, a not-so-grand total of 15 broke 70 for the entire week, and none of them did it twice. Way to go, Hootie. Clearly not the way that Steve Elling likes someone to run a tournament. We'll be right back after this ad from Titleist with our beating ball segment. Again, stay with us.
For a crisper long iron, grip up on it about an inch.
Be real aggressive through impact.
Keep it short and aggressive.
Maintain your balance.
Take one more club and swing it smooth.
Think happy thoughts.
For a soft draw, close your stance and make sure you release the club.
I'm going to line my feet to the right a little bit, hook the club face, then grip the club.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And one more tip, trust your tightness.
Oh, that's got to be it, guys. Come on, that's a perfect shot.
And we're back with our beating balls segment. Tiger Woods said that, in talking about his fourth round, that when he got on the greens, he putted like a spaz. That comment, the spaz word, was later edited out to say he putted like a rack or so on. And Tiger Woods was actually forced to apologize for using the word spaz because people with disorders, spastic disorders, I guess, were offended at his use of the word spaz. Just as some people might be offended if he had said, I putted like a retard. Is this people being a little too politically correct here or what?
I believe it is people being a little too politically correct. It was British BBC News who picked up the story, I believe, and over on the other side of the pond, the word spaz is what it would be more like retard over here.
Right.
And so they picked it up, and Tiger Woods did the right thing. He had to apologize, because that's the world we live in. But yeah, we're living in a politically correct, over-the-top kind of a world. Yeah, it was a big reaction that shouldn't have been there.
Shouldn't have been there, okay.
That's not what he meant.
We can agree on that, right? Everyone knows what he meant. Means no disrespect to people who have spasms of some kind.
No.
The Masters ratings were down this year. Tiger Woods, of course, duelled Chris DeMarco last year. That was certainly, the head-to-head match play kind of thing was... And Tiger Woods, of course, being involved, got it up there. But Tiger Woods was up on the leaderboard this year, and, ratings were down quite a bit. So, any reason for that?
Well, I think the reason is the Chris DeMarco Tiger Woods showdown last year. That's the factor. He had Tiger Woods with a legitimate shot going into the final round. This year, Mickelson's at the top. He and Couples are in the final pairing. Woods is back.
People just aren't, they're not attracted to Phil Mickelson. He didn't make for good TV, apparently, huh?
No, and it's a shame, too, because you had so many of the top players in the world right at the top of that leaderboard that it, could have made for great TV. Did make for, what could have been a fair race to the end.
Right.
Well, it wasn't.
On a slight tangent, let me say this, too. They kind of stopped showing Tiger Woods from about, the eighth hole on to about 13 when he had the eagle putt. Really didn't see much of his golf between those holes, because he was three or four shots out of it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they'd show 2.5 minutes of Phil Mickelson walking around.
Yeah.
I think the Masters could have done a better, or CBS especially, could have done a better job showing actual golf. I don't care if a guy's five shots out. I'd rather see a guy hitting a ball onto a green or into a fairway or, into the water or whatever than, watching a guy walking around.
Remind me if we saw Tiger Woods dunk both of his balls live. Did we see that? Or was that was just a replay? Because Tiger would put a couple of balls in the water.
Well, those were in the morning rounds, yeah.
Oh, it was in the third round, okay.
Yeah, so I believe those were live, but, he was still in the hunt then and stuff. That was on, 11 and...
Well, they took the chummy kind of Couples and Mickelson approach, and they wanted to watch that, built that up.
That was boring. People like feel good. They like, in the absence of head-to-head, battles, they like to watch golf. I mean, that's what they're tuning in for.
I was having a little warm fuzzy there, Eric, with the Couples and Mickelson thing.
I don't need to watch a guy with boobs walking around. So,
okay.
Phil Mickelson, number two in the world. Is he playing the best golf right now of anyone in the world?
And everybody's...
Obviously in the past 2 weeks he has, and obviously last week he was. Is he challenging Tiger right now?
No. Here's again a classic example of the overreaction that happens when somebody wins a major.
He's won more majors since 2004, so we can go back two years here. He's won more majors than Tiger since then.
Well, I think that even, he's won three of the last nine majors. Okay, that's impressive, but, it's not three of the last four. It's not three of the last six. I think there's a bit of stretching going on here. I mean, obviously, he played the best golf of anyone in the last two weeks.
Where he should be, the second best golfer in the world, you're saying.
He's the second best, and Tiger's still first.
Okay.
Phil said as much.
Is this a new Phil? The old Phil was, the go for it, go for broke. Is this a new Phil Mickelson? Has he learned how to win a major?
I think this is a much different Phil Mickelson. He used to go for broke no matter what. I think he's dialed it back in. He's kept enough of an aggressive approach so that he's not choking and trying to protect his lead, but he is playing more conservatively, and that's paying off.
I agree. He's learned how to win. He's no longer are people wondering what will Phil do next, because apparently he'll plod along and win a Masters. So there you go. He's replaced Gopher Broke with Plod Along. The best putter you know, who would that be?
The best putter?
Yeah.
On the PGA Tour?
No, the best putter you know personally.
So the best putter I know personally?
Yep.
Well, that's a tough question.
Just give me a first name. Okay, I don't even need a first name. Bob. If Bob could have putted for Fred Couples, would Fred Couples have won the Masters?
Yes.
I think so, too. I think I could have putted for Fred, and Fred would have won the Masters. Give me a half hour warm up, you know, on the putting greens, get the feel for the speed, and, you know, the 4-footer or whatever he missed on 14 would have made it Couples minus 6, Mickelson minus 7, and said he 3-putts and falls back to minus 4.
It was so disappointing to watch, because even, you know, the 10th, 11th, even to the 13th hole, Couples had a legitimate shot at making a run,
right.
And he missed the kind of putts that he should have made. He's got the belly putter. He's steady.
He's better on the long putts than he is on the short ones.
Oh, it was painful.
The belly putter. It says here on the caption to the article we'll link to, Fred Couples missed at least 5 putts from inside 10 feet on the icy dicey greens of Augusta National. 3 of those were on 14, I think, so.
I think you're right.
Seriously, I mean, that one putt alone, 2 shots, boom, he's up there 1 shot back, so.
And what would have happened, here's my question, what would have happened to Phil Mickelson had Couples began to chip away and get within 1 stroke,
or
and,
had anyone,
and then even,
had Tiger Woods would have happened? Those 2 eagle putts.
I don't know if Phil would have been so comfortable.
He might. I mean, that bogey on 18, I don't know if he would have blown it way left there, but that bogey on 18 would have had a big ramification there.
It would have.
Would have hit a lot of pressure. The Hartford event has moved up to take the place of the 84 Lumber Classic. The 84 Lumber Company basically closed 67 stores. They're trying to go from a $4 billion company to a $10 billion company, and somehow $8 million for having a PGA Tour event doesn't factor into their plans. So the 84 Lumber Classic, Jason Gore wins it. Vijay Singh wins it. No more after this year. Bye-bye. Completely out of the schedule. What the heck?
Disappointing.
What kind of crack are they smoking?
It's really, really thick, heavy stuff. It does something to your brain.
Wow.
Because this has become a great event. And, as you said, I mean, this is chump change.
Right. They sponsor Vijay Singh and John Daly, of course. $8 million is a lot to me. I'll take it. But out of, you know, 10 or 4 billion, not so much. You know, they pulled out all the stops for this. Joe Hardy was the old guy. His daughter is kind of taken over. I have to wonder if maybe the PGA Tour event wasn't his idea, and now that she has more control, she's kind of said, not really my idea. I don't want to do it.
She doesn't like golf.
She didn't find John Daly attractive. I don't know.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah. David Tom says the Masters has too many rules, and it's like the CIA. What is he talking about? This is dumb. he's complaining about getting his badge scanned when he checks in, basically.
Yeah, he is.
You know, and he's not allowed to have a swing coach with walking the fairways with him in practice rounds. I mean, that's about it, right? That's all he has to talk about.
Nobody's going to disagree that, you know, the Masters could be accused of being a little stuffy. Obviously, they're quirky. They do course changes at will, and they have extra security. The security, I've got no problem with. Of course, I think Tom should appreciate the fact that they're scanning him and making sure that these are legitimate players.
Right.
Yeah, makes total sense.
Michael Campbell lost his chance to play in the Memorial with 3 bad weeks. He's only allowed to play the 10 PGA Tour events. We've talked about this. And he had to earn $197,800-some and change over the last month to reach the equivalent of 150th on last place year's money list to become kind of a temporary PGA Tour player. So he missed a cut at the Bay Hill, the Players, and the Masters. So pretty much cost himself any chance of playing tournaments like the Memorial. So
yep.
just an update on that story. That's what you get for not playing that one or two extra events a couple years ago there.
Whoops.
Michael Campbell. Ernie Els claims Mickelson will win more times at Augusta National than Tiger Woods. Agree or disagree? I mean, Tiger's got a lead. He's up 4-2.
Not going to happen.
Okay. Do you think, as someone else said, that Tiger and Phil will win more Masters between them than Jack and Arnie? They're at 6. Jack and Arnie have 10.
It's possible. But don't forget this. Phil Mickelson is 36 years old.
Right. I think it's possible if Tiger wins 6 or 7. And Phil wins 4.
Here's a classic example of Ernie being caught in the moment and forgetting context.
Right, yes, he's 36. Not to say he couldn't win them up till he's 46 like Jack, but not so likely. So, you know, give Phil 4 or 5 more good, solid, you know, where he's in the hunt every week kind of years. Not too many outside of that. How many majors will Phil Mickelson win?
I think he's probably got, if he plays well, if he plays consistent, he's got at least 5 in him.
5 totals or 5 total. Or more.
Total. Five total.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say five as well. Six maybe, but, you know, he's halfway there, and it's taken him a while to get there, but he seems to be picking up the pace here in the recent years. Of course, three of the last nine, so. Top 10 reasons, I'm not sure, this is your link here, Jeff, I'm not sure what you're doing passing this one on, but the top 10 reasons why golf is better than sex.
I just thought this was hilarious. So, you know, number 10, a below par performance is considered damn good.
Yeah.
Little highlights here.
Foursomes are encouraged.
Foursomes, three times a day is possible.
Well, see, my number one reason would be I've played golf in the past 6 months, so. That's why it's better.
That's right.
We'll just link to that one and leave the discussion for your own bedrooms, I suppose. The USGA has increased the... Our last topic here, just a quick one. The USGA has increased the limit on the moment of inertia that they had imposed effective March 1st of this year from 4750 to 5900 with a tolerance of 100. MOI, or moment of inertia, is a measure of the amount that a force, say, hit a ball on the toe. It's the amount that the club head will resist twisting and thus hitting the ball offline. It applies to things like putters and drivers that you hit toe or heel word. But the putters, we've all seen those with the big weights and the big heads. And drivers, of course, TaylorMade's R7 with the movable weight and stuff. So that tolerance was raised from 4750 to 5900.
Well, this could be a small indication. If I can try to read a massive amount of information into a very small decision here, this could be an indication that the USGA is not so concerned with technology progress as we might think.
It's also the MOI benefits. It doesn't benefit a pro. Tiger Woods doesn't miss a ball on the driver an inch towards the toe. It benefits you or me. They're hitting it on the sweet spot most of the time. It's golfers, everyday golfers like you or me or whatever, that could use all the MOI we can get, you know? And that concludes episode 19 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you again by thesandtrap.com. Feel free to visit our website at thesandtrap.com. We have forums available. We have comments available if you want to leave a comment. And we have our podcast available, as you know, since you're listening to it. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.